Good afternoon to all of you. I think that was special. But like I said, I'm a little bit biased. I had the good fortune of being a firstborn of a firstborn. And the good fortune was not necessarily being the firstborn, but what it did allow me to do was to reach back quite a ways. I had the good fortune of knowing two of my great-grandfathers and one of my great-grandmothers. And like Mr. Bates mentioned, 100 years is really not that long. And I had a relationship with them and thus am living in the 21st century and reach and their lives span back to the 19th century. So that was always, for some reason, I always liked to spend time with old people. That's always been something I considered a privilege and had the opportunity to do so. The proverb tells us a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. That's Proverbs chapter 22 in verse 1. And perhaps this axiom seems a little bit outdated in our current culture of greed. I mean, greed is now, we are now reaping the consequences of greed in our culture. Gold, silver, riches are sought after without regard for reputation that is created along the way. You see that, and on the surface, it appears to it appears to work until you begin to understand and to realize how so-called successful people that we see in our culture actually live. I mean, in most cases, not all, in all cases, but in most cases, their life is an absolute disaster. Black Friday is a good, bad example of how people are willing to behave to get more things. You know, often behaving like certain barnyard animals in order to get a bargain. I mean, it's, in my view, a shame. It brings shame on the name of our country that after the day of Thanksgiving, we go out and now on the day of Thanksgiving, in fact, we were talking on our way in, and my wife said, I wonder how long it'll be until stores are open on Thanksgiving Day. I mean, this year they started in the evening. I said, next year, because of greed. Because if you don't open up now, at least at noon on Thanksgiving, you're going to miss out on a lot of revenue. Because people are camping out days in advance. A good name to be chosen. A reputation. You know, a good name, people kind of shrug it off. I want stuff. However, this timeless value of a good name and reputation is recognized by some of today's most influential people. Warren Buffett is one of the wealthiest men in the world today. He also, you might be interested to know, still lives in the same house today that he did when he didn't have wealth. You know why? He says, I like the neighbors. Which gives you a little bit of insight into the man's thinking and also perhaps on this quote. He said, quote, it takes 20 years to build a reputation and 5 minutes to ruin it. But here's, I think, the most important thing that he said in this quote. If you think about that, you will do things differently. One of the keys to his success has been to be able to succinctly state important principles. One of them is, I mean, when he talks to people that are responsible in his organization, he says, it's really quite simple. Don't lose the investors' money. Don't ruin our reputation. Here is a quote from Colin Powell that was made during a speech that he was giving at a prominent church when he was asked about his childhood. He spoke about the role of shame in his family. Now, that seems like an interesting way to discuss childhood. You know, what was shameful about Colin Powell's childhood? Apparently, shame was still an appropriate mechanism to shape behavior, because he said, to him, shame had a positive connotation. This is General Colin Powell, also a very influential person. This is how it was passed down to him from his parents. Quote, as a son, you have our name. So whatever you do becomes a reflection on us, good or bad. If it is bad, you have brought shame on us. If it is good, you have brought honor to us. I remember my grandfather talking about the family name. And he was very proud in a right way about his reputation. And he didn't want anybody messing with it. Because, as Colin Powell reflects, it would bring shame on the entire family. A couple of other notables. Benjamin Franklin said this, glass, china, and reputation are easily cracked and never mended well. A certain Ernest Brahma said, a reputation for 1,000 years may depend upon the conduct of a single moment. And we heard about the reputation of Daniel, and we've been studying the book of Daniel, and Mr. Bates did us a real favor by bringing in some background. Daniel's reputation for 1,000 years was shaped in that single moment when he purposed in his heart to not take of the king's delicacies. It's interesting, isn't it? How behavior and choices shape a person's reputation or name for generations. No wonder the proverb said, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. It's much more valuable, much more powerful, because a good name will pass from generation to generation. No one can take your good name. They can take your riches. They cannot take what is in your head. It's one of the reasons the Jewish people, over the centuries, tended towards professions like lawyers, musicians, artists, all of which were professions where it was retained primarily in their head, in their intellect, because they couldn't take that away from them when they crossed the border, when they were dispersed into lands. What we notice in this passage is that a good name is something that is built by tangible action. Choice in this case is a word from the Hebrew that is used frequently in passages that we cherish. One set of passages that we cherish refers to an active choice by God for our benefit. The second set of passages is an active choice by us, again, for our benefit. And I'm just going to read you an example. of each. And when I do so, I trust that you will recognize that these passages are part of a number of passages in which the word choose, chosen, choice is used. The first one is found over in Deuteronomy chapter 14. And this is an active choice by God. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name connects, it's a choice that connects back to a name. His name, God's name, and you'll see how that connects to the future as we progress. Where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, where the Lord when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money, take the money in your hand, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses. He's talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. And you shall spend the money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires, and you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household, your children, and your children's children. Now let's take a look at another passage. And in this particular case, it is an active choice by us. The interesting thing is that in both cases, whether it was God that did the choosing, or whether it is an active choice by us, it is both for our benefit. This is found over in Deuteronomy as well, this time in chapter 30, verse 19 through 20. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And those principles, I would have you know, exist today. If we choose to violate them, we will do it to our detriment. Cultures may change, God's principles don't. Blessing and cursing, therefore, choose life. Why? So that you, both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. These are powerful words, and they connect directly back to choosing a good reputation, choosing the right way, choosing a good name instead of stuff. So we see from these passages that the choice is something that brings or builds results. In the former, it provided a venue where God places his good name for his people to rejoice before him. In the latter, the choice builds an inheritance for generations of godly people to live in abundance. The uncanny thing about the message of Proverbs is this. It is that choosing a good name over gold and silver, the uncanny thing is that the former choice of choosing a good name over gold and silver often results in an adequate supply of the latter. And we see that throughout the scriptures. God told Solomon, because you didn't ask for gold and silver, and I will bless you in abundance. Stated another way, a good name or reputation has as a natural consequence a degree of wealth. I mean, it just, in a normal course of events, it works that way. And we saw the example of Daniel, and because of the culture around him, he suffered consequences for generations previous. But in the normal course of events, choosing a good reputation results in blessings. Instead of choosing to pursue silver and gold and destroying your reputation in the process. I remember, I think, when I had something that happened to me in the late 90s that brought this point home. At the time, I was volunteering for United in Germany and operating an import-export business to put food on the table, which kind of gives you an idea of what my financial means were at the time. I banked in the U.S. at a bank where my father also banked and had a good reputation. Our banker messed up. Imagine that. And forgot to wire money. And I got a phone call. I was in Hanover, Germany. Phone rang and he said, John, the container is ready to ship and we don't have your money. And I said, what? Well, let me make a phone call. I made a phone call to my bank in the U.S. and talked to the banker and said, and he said, oh no, I forgot to get this done. He wired $80,000 on my good word. I had not signed a thing. I thought, you know what? Sometimes, you know, I've dealt with businessmen of all sorts of ilk. And sometimes you wonder whether your reputation means anything. On that day, I realized, you know, if a bank is willing to wire on your reputation that sum of money, because he knew I was good for it, that I would repay when I sold the goods. It was generational reputation that made that happen. Choosing a good name, how is it done? How do you build it? There are no doubt many contributing factors, but we will focus on two essential building blocks drawn from the sage advice of the Book of Proverbs. There are many components. We'll look at two drawn directly from Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Two building blocks, love and faithfulness. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Two essential building blocks to a good name. Love and faithfulness is simple but profound. You know, love is one of those oft-maligned but central components to all good things, or all things good, including your name. You know, love isn't what it's made out to be. A more appropriate and accurate description of what is masqueraded in our current culture for love is another L word, and it's spelled L-U-S-T. It's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about love as defined by the Bible. The Greek word is agape, where in contrast to love, lust, where it's all about you, agape is all about the other person. Love, the oft-maligned but central component to all things good. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 5, a very familiar scripture. 1 John chapter 5. Chapter 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And then there's this little, what I like to call Boolean words, and part of Boolean logic. And his commandments are not burdensome. Imagine that. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. How does this connect with choosing a good name? I would submit to you that keeping the commandments and principles of God has everything to do with having a good reputation and building a good reputation, or rebuilding a good reputation. It's an essential building block. And I say essential because without it, you can't build a good reputation, regardless of what some people might say in our current culture. In order to consider for a few minutes what that means when the rubber meets the road, in actuality, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a very familiar scripture, and just ask and think about how this affects reputation. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll begin reading. Well, let's read verse 1. You know, this is kind of analogous to our current culture. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I mean, that kind of is analogous to our current culture and media. You know, you speak with the tongues of men. You know, politicians spend millions of dollars becoming polished speakers to speak with the tongues of men. But they do not have authentic love, and thus they become a clanging, irritating cymbal that we tire of listening to because we know it's not true. Authenticity today is one of the biggest lacks that we've got. And if we could just get over all the polish and be authentic, even if it's not, you know, just stated the perfect way, we would get a lot more done. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. You know, what does kindness do for your good name? People remember when you were kind. You know, you don't have to... I read a quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it, and it went something like this. Your reputation outlives what is chiseled into your tombstone. People remember love in action. Few people will go by to read what is chiseled in your tombstone because, you know, cemeteries is not a happy place to live. You know, even though nothing's sure but death and taxes, and we try to put both of them off as long as possible, right? You know, that's why on April the 15th, the Postal Service is completely overloaded. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Each of these descriptors echoes reputation, good reputation. Everybody's got a reputation, right? It's just a question of whether it is a good or a bad name. Love is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Oh, today we've got the intellectuals of this world that are so smart. It says it's going to vanish away. Because most of the intellectualism that drives the liberal agenda that we see in our culture is contrary to the law of God. It is what we read in Romans chapter 1, that because men and women have refused to retain God in their knowledge, and countries, ours in particular, that has now refused to retain God in their knowledge, God gives them over to what? A debased mind, so they do things they ought not. The wise become fools. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Gold and silver can be melted down, can be repossessed. You know, people are buying gold and silver today because of the value. You know, what a lot of people don't realize is, I mean, if things get really bad, the federal government, like they did back in, I think it was the 20s or the 30s, Great Depression, somewhere in there, it was illegal to own gold. So, as the saying goes, he who has the gold makes the rules. But the other component of that, he who has the biggest gun gets the gold too. A good name, as Daniel's example so nicely shows, can outlive and live through political turmoil and upheaval and even captivity, if God so chooses. Choose a good name. If gold and silver follows, count it a blessing. What about the second component? Faithfulness. This politically incorrect virtue that has passed the test of time. And it's a politically incorrect virtue that has passed the test of time and will yet conquer the future. You know, I grew up in a culture and at a time where when you gave your word, you gave your word. Oh, our neighbors, some of them were cranky. Some of them were old. They were unsophisticated. But you know what? If they said they were going to do something for you, you could count on it. Faithfulness is, as I said, an essential component to building a good name. Today, unfaithfulness of all sorts and types are flaunted on our television screens as fun, desirable, and good. It is safe to say that we have adopted evil as good and good as evil. And it's not an overstatement any longer. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11 and notice a prophecy about Jesus Christ in this regard. Isaiah chapter 11 is an oft-quoted scripture during the Feast of Tabernacles because it talks about the lion and the lamb and the kids and the children, you know, appropriately so. But in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, is the beginning of the most widely recognized messianic prophecy. And it talks about in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. It's interesting here, and I think it is critical that we understand that knowledge and intellect is only valuable if it is based firmly on the fear of the Lord. Otherwise, it's just vanity, or worse. And just because some PhD said it does not mean it's true. It just means it was well argued. And some of it is really compelling. But our measuring stick must always be, does it measure up with the measuring stick of the Word of God? And if it doesn't, we can dismiss it because it's not true. Jumping ahead to verse 5, we notice that in verse 5 it states, one of the components, one of the building blocks of Jesus Christ's reputation was, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. A central component of Jesus Christ's reputation, and we talk about a good name, he got it. Faithfulness was like the belt of his waist that held everything together. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2 and look at the fulfillment. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He had a very short wait on death row. You know, there was nothing worse for your reputation than crucifixion. But faithfulness, all the way to the point of death, carried the day. As I said, this is a politically incorrect virtue that has passed the test of time and will yet conquer the future. Notice that Paul does not quit writing to the church in Philippi in verse 8. He continues, therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. He built on faithfulness. He remained faithful all the way to his death on the cross, and in doing so, chose a good name over convenience. A name that God gave to him. You see, the fact that aligning ourselves with the law of God and remaining faithful to that leads to a good name makes logical sense because ultimately it is God that preserves our reputation for perpetuity. It is only God, not parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents that can pronounce a blessing for 1,000 generations. You see, our influence is critical. Make no mistake. I mean, parental responsibility, there is none greater. There is nothing more important than we can do than to shape the next generation. And that should make sense, right? Nothing sure but death and taxes, so we know our future, right? My future is not my age, it's in the grandsons we blessed today. So shaping their lives and their minds and their will is much more important than shaping mine at this point. But ultimately, it is God that will provide a blessing that goes forward for generations to come. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. He who overcomes, there's that concept of faithfulness again, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. That's a powerful promise. And we can live in expectation of receiving it because, you know, there can be no expectation without promise. We live in the anticipation and expectation of receiving the name of God written upon us. So back to Colin Powell's concept of shame. Oh, I know shame is an outmoded word, but perhaps using it in today's culture makes it more impactful because it is rarely used. Shame? It's akin to guilt. Both are bad. No, they're not. They're very helpful concepts in helping to guide us in our conscience towards a good place. If we live in expectation of receiving God's name upon us, then our behavior, our reputation, also runs the risk of bringing shame on the name of God. And we need to consider that as we go forward in expectation of this promise. And now I have a postscript for Asher and Caleb. You know, I know that they're here today, but maybe since David is recording this sometime in the future, they can see this. And my message to them is simply this. Choose a good name rather than silver or gold. Actually, their parents have chosen your name. Let me just read two scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33 in verse 24. And of Asher, he said, Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be favored by his brothers. Let him dip his foot in oil. Your sandals shall be iron and bronze, and as your days, so shall your strength be. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24 states this. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. There's that building block, faithfulness. Because he has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. So Asher and Caleb, choose a good name by living up to the one your parents gave you.